Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
If it's spooky, don't be frightened.
Dragon friends,
scurry home and bar the door.
Daylight ends,
and the fiends and ghouls delight in things that scare, so be well aware as you make your way. Don't be led astray, for the goal is near, and your friends are here, and there's plenty more in store.
The deep gnomes of the Moptop clan have been sworn to the ancient house of Strahd for 500 years, tricked into their servitude by one of his powerful retainers, the hag Mad Moira. With Moira's death, the Moptops have earned a measure of freedom, but they remain unable to escape the land until the vampire count is dead and his curse lifted from Barovia. Their leader, a wizened and pitiful creature who, for some reason, insists that his name is Nuke Dukem, leads you with gnarled hands through the kitchens and servants' quarters that have been his people's world for a century. Deep gnomes have been born, raised families, and died in these larders of ill omen, and escape has never been a possibility until now. Dukem gathers his people in one of the main cellars of the kitchen, a huge room scattered with dusty crates and forgotten barrels of ale and lard. Tonight, it is filled with hundreds of deep gnomes stacked around tables, gantries, loading bays, anywhere they can fit. Nuke Dukem indicates for you to lift him onto a table, which Filge gently does. He clears his throat to speak to the crowd.
My people! Brothers, sisters of the Moptop Clan. Yes. Quiet, he's talking. These brave adventurers have slain the evil hag, Mad Moira. They will lead us from this place. So, so that we might always mine gems.
See, this was a funny idea 3 episodes ago. But they're like a major part of the plot.
Yeah. So that we may play Scrabble in peace. But we must aid them in their fight against evil Count Strahd.
There is a huge cheer at the Count's name.
Actually, can we get that for Foley, for the podcast?
I think we just did.
Nah.
One more time, all your best droopy voices say it again. 1, 2, 3.
Very cool.
You used to be on my side.
Now I've spoken to my people in their tongue. We may converse freely.
Ah, yes, very good.
Well, I've got to talk to them again. Did you want to say anything to my people, dragon friends, that I should translate?
Could you ask them if they have any armor or weapons?
Indeed we do.
And with that, Dukem.
I think I should ask them, Dave. Do you think I should ask them?
Go right ahead.
All right. My people!
Deep in the mountain, we have stored a trove of weapons.
Yes, the weapons trove.
Yes. Should we give them to these brave adventurers?
Well, it seems that the Moptop clan has spoken, and so...
Didn't we just free you motherfuckers?
didn't we just free you from servitude? What the fuck's going on? Give us some weapons.
That was a yes.
Oh, that was a yes? My mistake?
Me so sorry for me friend. He not fluent.
Nuke Dukem claps his hands three times and a bevy of mop-top wenches come forward with trays, platters filled with cheeses, foods, ointments, which you can apply to heal all your wounds to maximum hit points. And
ointment?
And a...
ointment?
And all...
And for you, can I get you an ointment?
And all...
I just want to make sure that everybody is good for ointments. Ointment, 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 ointment. Ointment here.
Six mop-top tailors also move forward and are carrying between them three sets of fine Barovian clothing. So for anyone who finds themselves naked, wearing half a suit of armor, or just a Hessian sack...
Oh, me.
Yep.
You now have a proper set of clothes.
Nice. Can we make requests?
Can you make requests?
Yeah. Are they doing alterations?
Yeah, they'll do on-the-spot alterations.
I would like a baker's outfit again, please. I'm writing that into my loot.
All right, you have a fine Barovian baker's outfit.
I would like a cape befitting of my position as a strong and powerful wizard.
Oh, yeah. Simon, do you have any requests?
Yeah, can I get like a silk kind of scarf with the eye holes cut out, kind of like a Ninja Turtle?
Hours pass and the energy in the room seems to wane as the...
I would like some tights!
But they've already gone.
Oh.
As the tailor's...
I have another request. Oh my God. Can I get clothes that stretch Hulk style so that when I turn into a werewolf, I'm still wearing a dapper suit of clothes? Can we retcon that, please?
Yes, you know what? You can have that. That's fine. So you all are given outfits except for Baston, who, if anything, seems to be snubbed. And
I don't think this is fair.
And hours pass as the night turns into morning.
Wear the dressed. Kind of an in-joke.
Or if he takes off all his clothes to get the fitting and he says, I'm undressed.
Better.
As the morning crows begin to sound the tailor's finish, their frankly unnecessary task, and it is up to Dukem to rally his now frankly bored people. So this he does in a manner which is irritating and we won't go into.
Triple!
And
word! Score!
And soon... a veritable army of mop tops wielding cleavers, pitchforks, and tiny daggers is marching you out of the kitchens, out of the servants' quarters, towards the main stairway that will take you through the grate into the courtyard of Castle Ravenloft.
Last chance for ointment? Ointment? Last chance for ointment?
Have they given us any weapons?
No, you used up all your requests on tailoring adjustments. So the magic swords are put away in a box again.
You know, I would have thought they would have wanted the magic swords, but okay, they weren't into it.
May I have an ointment to store for later?
Mm. Yeah, they also give you each a ointment that is the equivalent of a potion of healing.
You know what this ointment is?
No, don't.
It's fine.
Paint a word picture. What does the ointment look like?
Dukem leads you to the stairwell and soon you are facing the grate that took you down here. However, at this point, the procession comes to a halt.
Halt! We will go no further.
No further.
What?
We will go no further.
Why not?
Can I make myself really clear? We can go no further.
Sorry, what?
Did you say Bob Dobelina, Mr. Bob Dobelina?
Bob Dobelina, Mr. Bob Dobelina.
Sorry, could you repeat that more slowly?
We will go no further.
No, we got that bit. What was the reasoning?
It is customary for the Maptop clan. We do not go above ground.
We do not go above ground.
But surely these are special circumstances. Your lives depend on it.
We are bound by...
tradition.
That's why I wear these shoes.
I mean, traditionally, you were also enslaved.
Underground.
Yeah, it was really the underground part that was important.
Can we convince you...
Hey, can you shut
why
the fuck
you,
up?
Why don't you go ahead and make a persuasion roll?
Yes, I roll a persuasion.
Using your natural charisma.
My natural charisma is 17 total.
Actually, no, you know what? Forget your roll.
Forget
your rubbish roll.
Charisma.
No,
no. No, we're going to make you do it. Here, we have these amazing new dice. We have been provided dice by Level Up Dice, which are...
Yeah, give him a trap. This
is really cool. So we have a bunch of, anodized aluminium dice from, a limited run. They do semi-precious metals. They've also given us...
I can't tell, but this is very hot. I would say that this is 100 degrees.
Listen to how heavy this dice is.
And this is pure tungsten, so...
Ooh.
It's 0.1 of a kilogram, people.
I could really do some damage.
Yeah, you could kill someone with this dice.
If that was in drug weight, it would be worth a lot.
Absolutely.
Give me a d20. Let's roll for this.
No, so this is going to be your dice of inspiration, which we gave you last episode. And
thank you.
Why don't you try the d20 out for this ill-attempted persuasion roll. You rolled a 7. Dukem looks at you pitifully and repeats...
Oh. No.
Can you give us any
words?
And
they begin to leave.
Can you give us any words of advice moving forward?
In the Western Wing Tower. Yes. Often a lilting song is heard drifting from the window. And lights can be seen coming also. That is where he keeps his... that's where we've been sending the food every day. So if there's somebody alive who can eat food, the plates always come back empty, so I assume they like it. that's where I'd go, but I'm not you.
I'm not you. I mean, I'm bound to stay underground, too.
We gotta stay under here.
We gotta stay underground.
Question, right, if you're bringing food to them...
But he is already gone.
We bid our gnome friends farewell, and we head towards the Western Wing.
Now, as Dukem had told you, the West Wing Tower, the tower that is the southwestern corner of Castle Ravenloft, this castle high on the Balinox, is the it is also the tower that you, Bobby, first saw light coming from, and it seems to be the only inhabited part of the castle. Now, the gnomes have told you that the guest chambers are in the first floor, and this is likely where you will find Irina, the woman that you have been seeking, more or less haphazardly, for a week now?
Has it only been a week?
Really? I feel like we've been doing this for...
But he also warns you to stay out of the second and third floors of the tower unless you want to face Strahd's wrath.
Is it broad daylight?
You know, it was night, but your tailoring adjustments have forced us into early morning.
So we can pretty much charge on straight to the... through the courtyard to the tower because vampires hate sunlight.
True that.
All right, so...
Famously they do. We charge through the courtyard.
Excellent. All right, Dukem has left you with a key, the same key which originally brought you down in here, and you turn it twice, it opens, and the grate opens, and you are now in the courtyard heading towards the tower.
What can we see? Do you want to do a perception check?
Yeah, actually, everybody make a perception test.
This one. 14.
20!
Oh, well done.
Natural 20?
Yes.
Oh, ba-ba-da-ba.
I remember when you all used to clap a natural 20.
Filge, you notice that not only is the Western Wing seems to be the only populated area, but as a barbarian and I presume sort of an expert of settlements, does that make sense? Let's keep going with it.
Me studied settlements in school.
The other areas are in fact in ill repute and disrepair. So it looks like most of this castle is actually falling apart. Only an effort has been made to keep the West Tower upright. The others, the roofs have been taken out. There is rot and It's all fucked up real estate, yeah, is what I'm trying to say.
This one a real doer-uppera.
Yeah, a lot of rising damp.
You make your way towards the tower and soon find yourselves in a small entryway, a kind of atrium area, where stairs lead up, surrounded and flanked by burning braziers. And at the top of these stairs is a doorway, and the doorway is closed.
I scream out, Strahd! We're here for...
For my love!
We are here for Irina, and we won't leave until we have her. Please.
Well, there go me idea of sneaking in.
Okay, your voice echoes foolishly around the tower, and only these sort of angry bats that have been dislodged by the echoes falling to the ground.
Oh, I was sleeping.
Seems to be your only response. Very nice.
Can I talk to bats? I think I have animal speech,
you
right?
You do have beast speech. I forgot about that.
Can I talk to these bats?
You can understand what they're saying. You can't talk back to them.
Okay. I found the biggest moth last night. Oh, she was juicy out of her. Oh,
you leave any for me? Of course you bloody didn't.
No, not first in, best dressed.
Yeah, that's what you
and
say.
And I'm dressed in a moth's... In a moth.
Oh, you're horrible, you.
Oh, you're bloody horrible. You wish you could get some of this.
I like our talks. Uh-huh. I like our talks.
Oh. Well, I've been disturbed enough. I might go back to sleep now.
No, not.
We...
Bobby...
We sneak past the now sleeping bats and creep upstairs towards the top of the tower where we assume Strahd is.
Excellent, okay. So making your way in through the stairs, you come onto the first floor of the Western Tower, and it opens into a surprisingly lavish and tastefully furnished apartment, a fire roaring in the corner, side tables lay about dotted with fruit, books, and tall white candles that burn with a bright, steady light. Now a set of spiraling stone stairs ensconced in the western wall leads up to a landing and a wooden door which is locked, which you can see from here, but for now the room is yours.
I use the fire to light a torch because I think you can burn vampires. And I want to be prepared.
I don't know if the audience is with you, but... You light a torch. Congratulations.
All right. I'm just going to be prepared. So
Bobby,
I'm holding
Bobby
a torch
made
now.
A stake, but like, you know, each to their own.
Oh.
You've confused vampires with wood.
Ah. All right, then the second thing I do is I use...
But it is too late.
Can Baston see if he can smell Arena? Just like in the air? Just like...
Yes. You can. You know her signature scent?
Yeah, it's...
What is her signature?
It's Lanesh. Lanesh 5 number.
Was that a 13?
That's a 13.
Do you know what? You can smell Lanesh 5 number wafting down that single staircase from behind that door.
I smell my love.
I am the best.
I lick my hand and I slick Baston's hair down and fix up his moustache and beard, and I hold his head in my hands and I say, go to her.
Do I look good? Do I look good though? Am I ready?
Oh,
I'm ready, aren't I? I'm ready.
You're ready.
Okay.
I'm just sorry, just to stop. I'm really perplexed that Baston has a moustache. Is that canon?
He just grew it just then.
Yeah.
Oh.
Just pushed it out.
Wow.
He's a very virile young boy.
Very virile.
And I give him a big slap on the butt to push him up the stairs.
And the other one.
I didn't know Baston had two butts either, but I guess I wasn't paying attention.
So I think the three of us make a decision to stay back to let Baston have some alone time.
Oh, that's
with
very
Irina.
That is surprisingly socially aware of Frieza.
Yeah.
That is showing an amount of social graces I would not hitherto expect.
Is there... No, Frieza just knows how to lay some bait, is what he does. He doesn't trust his Irina. I've been burnt before. Last time we saw Irina, she turned out to be Mad Moira, so I reckon...
Okay, but last time she wasn't Mad Moira. That was a disguised self spell.
What? No, she was Mad Moira, but she wasn't Irina. What?
What is wrong with you?
We let Baston go by himself and we hang back and...
Eat fruit.
Eat fruit.
All right.
I'm not going to eat the fruit just in case it turns out to be, like...
Thyroids.
Yeah.
Baston bounds up the stairs and kicks the door down.
All right.
He wants to do like a flying kick and then like a... to land with his hands on his hips and...
Nice.
Make a strength check.
Yeah, because he's strong.
Plus two.
One. That is a critical fail.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
That is okay. Baston puts a hand up, and the dragon friends quietly agree that it's time for him to go forward and meet his love, a woman that he has now for a week since the mystery of the Pillar Stone sought for and has not rested until he found her. He makes his way up the stairs and, with a flying kick in the style of the Eastern martial artists of whom he read as a boy, attempts to knock the door down. Three things happen almost immediately. First up, he breaks a toe, rebounds back and hits the rather frail, in retrospect, wrought iron balcony at the top of it, which then instantly snaps and he falls down into the common area while the door remains closed.
Landing on his feet.
Taking 4 hit points of damage.
How fast can he do one of those things, you know, where you're lying on your back and you like... jump up so you land on your feet.
Make a dexterity.
With a broken toe?
Here we go. I'm going to try and save this, people. Here we go.
One.
Seven. No, it's a seven. It's a seven. You wanted a one so bad.
I wanted a one.
I kind of wanted a one.
Do you know what? It's a seven and you broke it a toe. He immediately...
I broke it a toe.
Too proud, he refuses your help to get up and then tries to jump up onto his foot and then starts crying.
Oh. I would have liked him too, just for the record, because I've always wanted to see someone do this. Like, overdo it and then just go like, and face plant.
That's like one. That's a natural one.
Can I take a strength check to hold back my tears?
Yes. No, you know what? You can take a charisma check.
Oh,
for this
charisma
one.
Check to sell not being really sad. Yeah.
It's an 18.
Yeah, I hold back those tears.
You guys are all baffled that despite having done this, Baston seems oddly proud of himself.
I'd follow that man anywhere.
Wow, he actually made that look cool.
All right.
The door remains locked.
Here we go again.
Whoa. Let me have a crack at it.
Bobby pulls out his little cloth roll of hooks and shit and heads upstairs, rolling a...
Three. Does he trip on the stairs?
Do I trip and all of my tools somehow fall through the keyhole to the other side of the door?
I think a three means that you realize that you left your lock picking tool at the last door you tried to pick last week.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to pick up Baston like a baby and walk up the stairs and kick it open for him and like carry him through the threshold of the room.
Strength check advantage. 2 dice. Oh, 19 for the first one. All right.
Oh.
With a half-orc's natural grace and beauty, you pick up Baston and kick the door, which immediately falls over. And you can make your way into the room.
I've never felt so small before.
Inside, the smell of...
Lanesh. Lanesh. Five number.
The... Inside, the smell of Lamesh 5 number is almost overpowering as you find yourself in a room full of heavy red drapery and dominated by a vast silken canopied four-poster bed. A figure can be seen just inside in the dim light of the drawn canopy inside the bed, sitting up, studying something.
My love, I have come to rescue you.
And after 10 episodes of searching to play Irina Koliana, the woman lost of Barovia, please welcome to the stage from the Chaser's Election Desk and the Checkout and Story Club, Zoe Norton Lodge.
Very exciting.
Hello.
Is that Zoe or is that Irina?
That's Irina.
Okay.
My love, the time has come for you to be rescued, which is what is happening now.
Are you still in the arms of...
Yes.
Good? Nice.
I am beaming.
Like a proud mum.
Did you bring me any Lanesh 5 number duty free from outside the castle?
Alas, my love, I didn't. Oh no!
You can't quite see, but through the gauzy drapery of the canopy bed, the figure seems taken aback.
I'm not impressed. Nice for you to rescue, but everything else, you in the arms, not impressed. Not sexy.
But I'm riding a she-orc.
I like the she-orc.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm really starstruck and I just shuffle from foot to foot.
Carry me closer.
Sensing some awkwardness from downstairs.
And wanting a bit of that.
What's
like
right?
Moth to a flame.
I kind of can hear the conversation, and I cast, Friezo casts prestidigitation to make everything smell like Lanesh 5 number.
That's great. All right, so a burst of this frankly cheap and tawdry perfume fills the air. You want to get in on this magic show, Simon?
I will use
just pick a spell, any spell.
Sure. Oh, I will use Charm Person.
Okay.
To charm Irina. Can I do it on behalf of somebody else?
No, she will fall in love with you.
All right, I do it anyway.
Irina, go ahead and make a willpower saving throw. That's with that dice.
Use the
there.
Yellow one.
What am I trying to do?
You're trying. All you have to do is you need to roll 11 or higher.
You're trying to resist his charms.
No, sorry, 12 or higher.
His magical charms.
All right, it's.
Okay, come, please.
Okay, Irina, you have a. You suddenly see a quite handsome, strapping halfling walking up the stairs behind Baston.
Hello.
Hello.
Did you come to rescue me?
Yep. All of us did. We're here to just help you out. There's a
I
vampire.
I can't see
so.
Anybody else.
Okay. Well, that's Friezo. That's
Molecular degeneration. All I can from love, and all I can see is you.
Oh,
babe, this isn't cool.
My name's Bobby. Very
Bobby,
pleased to
Bobby,
meet you.
Bobby, best name.
Oh, Bobby, best name. Well, that's
hey,
hope
Dick,
that sticks.
I thought we were friends. What the fuck is this?
I tried to cast a spell to help you out, brother.
Well, thanks, but no thanks.
Oh, well, like, the best of good intentions, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, well, pave the road to my butt.
Your two butts, please.
Butts.
The room is, as I said, lavishly filled, and Irina, smitten with Bobby as she is, quickly tells you of what has happened since she disappeared.
Tell us, what has happened since you've disappeared?
Well, I stay here. I eat all this cheese. I call Amazon. I ask for Lanesha 5 number. Never arrive. I hang out. There's a vampire.
Whoa. A vampire? Tell us everything you can about him.
Well, he bring me food. It's quite nice. But there's one, he won't let me leave, which I don't like. I prefer to be able to leave. But this room is quite nice. So easy come, easy go.
Wait. The vampire wants you to leave?
No, he won't let me leave.
Oh, he won't let you leave. Okay.
A thick Barovian accent confuses you momentarily.
He's confused because of the love.
All the love is... excuse me one moment.
Okay.
I go over to the guys and I'm like, this girl is crazy.
I say to Bobby, look, I just don't think that's an ethically, like, all right spell for you to even be toying with. I feel like it leads to a lot of really dicey areas, and
good one.
Yeah. I just think that you need to take responsibility for your actions.
And I say,
I'm pregnant.
Sorry, seriously?
Yes.
With a vampire baby?
With a you, Bubby baby.
Look, as far as I'm concerned, little Bobby hasn't been let out of his pants. So technically, that's impossible. I don't know what you're talking about. Dave just made a face. Dungeon Dave, what does that face mean?
What that face means is that while she is gravitating towards Bobby and explaining her predicament, you notice a chill starts to enter the room and the temperature begins to drop.
Hold me closer, Village.
At that moment...
I'm still downstairs in the downstairs room.
No, you've all wandered upstairs at this point. As the mercury seems to drop as well, wind picks up and suddenly the windows that are sort of latticed and barred snap open, and a huge gust of wind with what seems like a monstrous swarm of shrieking bats flies into the room, and every candle is immediately extinguished.
Oh, I didn't want to be awake right now. Oh.
Oh, this is just the worst
inconvenience. Oh.
The moment is slightly less scary for Friezo, who can understand what the bats are saying, but for everyone else, it's very arcane and impressive. And... as the bats spin and shriek, they coalesce into a figure.
I knew it!
A figure that you have seen but once before, with a dark and aristocratic frame, dressed in Barovian silks, rings, and finery, with a voice smooth and honeyed, yet with an edge like a burnished steel. A new voice, a voice we have not heard. A voice that is perhaps fearsome, foreboding, and, you know, like what Dave asked for. And as that figure coalesces, it snaps and turns towards you.
And he says, slightly different angle on this one, he goes, "G'day, cunts! Welcome to me castle!" Oh, yeah! Here you find yourself in my fucking castle. It's haunted as shit, mate. There we are. Nice.
Is this Chopper Reed?
It's not dissimilar. Be thankful it's nice.
It's not quite Chopper Reed, but it's more Australian comedian Heath Ledger playing Chopper Reed.
Look, it's by way of that. Do you want it to be worse?
This is
legible.
It says here a smooth voice. Can you make that same voice smoother?
Okay, ready?
Put some Brian Brown on it.
Yeah, okay. All right, g'day, guys. How's it going?
But like with a growl under that?
G'day, guys. Welcome to, you find yourself in my castle. That's nice. That must be nice for you to be here. Where's, just quick question, quick cue for you guys. Do you guys got an invite to be here? I guess you do, do you?
Last time I checked, vampires are the ones who need invitations.
And then he goes, great joke, smartass. And he raises a hand and pushes it toward Bobby.
Can I jump out of the way?
Absolutely. You know what? Make a dexterity check right away.
That will not do it.
Okay. Was that a six? All right. Suddenly a hold person spell grabs you and you are paralyzed.
Ha! Look at that! Can't even move! So, what's the go here? What's the plan, guys?
You have kidnapped my love and I have come to reclaim her. Put me down, Filge.
Me not sure it's safe for you. Me don't want to lose another friend.
Aww. Who did you lose before?
Me brother?
Oh, yeah.
That's a push.
Do you know what? Casting a spell brings you into combat, so... Uh-oh.
Can I talk?
Yeah, you can still talk, but it's great effort.
Right.
Ready? Let's fight.
I run to the curtains and I open
them. Well, we're going to go into combat order, so I have my initiative order here from before. And the having just moved as the vampire, the next person to move is Bobby. Bobby, you can try and break the spell if you want, so why don't you go ahead and make a savings throw, a dexterity savings throw.
20!
All right. Oh. Woo!
No, it's unexpected.
With trademark halfling nimbleness, you are able to break free from the spell. However, that does take up your action for the turn. You can move normally next time. Baston, you are next.
Baston cries, charge! And hopefully Filge will charge me towards the vampire.
And he delays his action until Filge's turn. Excellent.
Can Strahd have a line?
Yep.
Hey, was it a super great idea to just announce what you're going to do before doing it?
Friezo, you're next.
Okay, I take this opportunity, because of self-preservation, I use prestidigitation again to make my entire body smell like garlic really strongly.
Okay, you can make a cubic foot of yourself smell like garlic, so you have to pick which part.
Your balls!
Yep, okay, it's the dick and balls area, so that includes thighs and my lower stomach. It's all garlic. No, neck! Why would I not go neck? Neck!
Too late!
Too late!
Neck and face!
It is the peen and balls.
Filge, you're next.
Fuck!
I charge at the vampire with my head lowered like I'm going to headbutt him and hopefully...
Throw me!
All right, and I hurl Baston at the vampire.
This is a charge attack with advantage, so two dice and...
For me?
Roll the highest. No, you have decided to put your self firmly in the Baston quarter.
Yeah. Me a horsey!
Roll two, get the highest. 15 will do it with your strength, so you charge forward and you hit the vampire with your dagger, I presume?
No, kind of just like in a Superman pose.
He gave you the option for a dagger, but... Yeah.
A wooden dagger.
You don't have a wooden...
I don't have a wooden dagger. I'll just use my fist.
All right, you punch him. As soon as you punch him, he feels cold and like the grave and strong as a sort of petrified corpse, and he laughs at you. And it's...
Let me ask you on a scale of 1 to 10, how'd that plan out for you?
I thought it went pretty well.
And then, does he have an action?
Yeah, no, soon, because the next one who has an action is Irina.
I watch.
And now you can go.
Can you give me a stridey thing that I can do to hurt Baston?
Absolutely.
Or incapacitate him somehow? Oh, yeah, actually, this is great. It's like, all right, smartass, you seem like the bloody brains of the operation. You seem pretty strong, you seem pretty buff. Wouldn't want to meet you in a dark alley, you know what I'm saying? Guess what, you fuck? Suggestion!
All right.
And then he turns Baston on everybody.
Okay, quickly, I need you to, again, this is a DC saving throw, so you need to make it.
Throw,
this is wisdom-based, so...
All right, 12 will not do it against a powerful magic user like Strahd. And instantly, a cloud of rage seems to fill you, and you turn and see frozen Bobby, the man who has stolen your beloved. Now,
frozen.
Oh, no, yeah, no longer not. Frozen, but still looking short and kickable. And
yeah.
But he's still on my shoulders, right?
No, you threw him. And Bobby, it is now your turn.
All right. Hey, Strahd. Bag of dick nuts. And I reach into my bag and I pull out the Relic of Pelor.
Ooh.
Hey, fuckface, recognize this?
Oh, what are you? And then he kind of goes quiet a little bit. And he goes, oh, yeah? Yeah, righto.
I wonder what would happen if I broke this into 1,000 tiny shards.
Oh, no, please don't put it in your asshole. Oh, no, if you put it in your asshole, I'd be doomed.
And I whisper, Bobby, me think you need to put in asshole. Just like I show you.
Oh, no, don't shove it right up your butt.
I need you to make a decision, Simon, what you're going to do with the relic.
I raise it above my head as if I'm about to shatter it on the ground.
That's not where your asshole is.
Fool me once, shame on you.
All right, I need you instantly to make a wisdom saving throw. And normally no one else would get to make the saving throw, but because, Filge, you have danger sense, I need you to also make one for me.
I got 2.
You all right. What about you?
I got 10.
Okay. Filge, you think he needs to put it in his asshole. Yeah.
Listen to me, bro. I'm really sure about this.
Bobby, you suddenly have an inclination that there's a sort of a tell from the vampire's eye that maybe this would be playing into his hands and he wants it destroyed.
This definitely not playing into his hands.
You know what? Maybe I'll just keep this for myself. Maybe you'd like to have a bargain. I'll sell it to you.
Oh, great, bloody great that we're at Aldi now. What the fuck are you talking about?
Looks and like the next one is Baston. All right.
I want to kick Bobby in the head.
Yeah, you draw your dagger, in fact, and you attack
Bobby. Under suggestion. All right. Take this, you little weasel.
Actually, it's armor class 14. 5.
5.
You are shit. I roll and 5. You miss. Baston lunges at you to stab you.
Is it my action?
No, it is Friezo.
As per my request, as all my pants are stripper pants, I remove my baker's outfit to reveal my... And bearing in mind, I wanted this to be my neck. I wanted this to be my neck. I brandish my garlic-flavored dong at the vampire. I'm sorry, I wanted it to be my neck. I draw my long sword, which is separate to the garlic flavored dong, and I attack. Look, odds I attack. Strahd,
yeah,
evens
roll.
I attack.
No, roll. You can.
All right. 12.
That will do yep. it. All right. So 14 plus 4 plus 5 is 19, yep. which is enough. So the you draw your sword, make some unnecessary gestures, and you stab your sword through. This magical sword that you've carried with you mm-hmm. since you got it from Albrecht Rumsfeld, I believe his name was.
Who knows who I stole this sword
anyway,
from?
Anyway, you stab the sword of Rumsfeld deep into his heart.
Come on!
Oh, gosh! Oh, no, not a sword! Through my heart? Gosh, where'd you get this? A shop? Oh, no, you know, the last guy tried to... Let me tell you a funny story. Last guy, he had an axe made in the heart of a dying star from a different universe. But gosh, a sword from a shop!
And as you pull it out, there is no wound, nothing. He seems unperturbed, and with mocking laughter, he negs you. Filge.
I have an amulet that I have, and I throw it at his head.
Okay. This is the broken soul stone that you once used to, like, summon a cleric.
Yeah.
That doesn't work anymore. That one?
Yeah. I yell, magic! Be gone, vampire!
No effect. All right. Irina.
Help me, my love!
Okay. I find a secret bottle of La Neige 5 number. bad, bad for Mr. Vampire, and I spray in his eye. Do I roll?
Yeah, make a dexterity saving throw to scent the vampire.
Scent him to death. Like sentence, but perfume. Scent.
It's easy, so I just need to beat 8 because it's just a touch attack.
Okay. I don't win.
All right.
But I will say that Strahd actually seems a little bit touched and kind of turns to the group and goes, oh, you see this? It's a bloody lovers games that we play, Petrina and I. It's like this all the time. Anyway, it's my turn.
It is your turn.
He turns on Bobby and goes, that was kind of rude from before. And he casts Disintegrate on Bobby.
Oh, okay. I need you to make a saving throw. Again, this will be DC 10, so I just need... You want... No, do it right here. I need it to be 11 or higher.
Dice cam.
That was an 11 and became a 9. You're going to use your dice of inspiration.
Oh, inspiration. All right.
Come on, dice of inspiration.
17.
Yeah.
Whoa. Okay, a moment of sudden clarity seems to reach you, and with instinct more than cunning, you take the Relic of Pelor and you thrust it in front of you. The moment the disintegration ray hits it, a powerful hum fills the room, and suddenly wild fey magics seem to break and shatter against the shores of something older, eldritch, and impenetrable. The relic hums and then seems to turn in on itself somehow, and in that moment, the disintegration ray shatters and seems to fly back into Strahd, who screams a high-pitched wail of pain. And instantly explodes in a cloud of bats, which shriek...
Oh, back to vent then.
He's bats again.
And with gusts and shrieks of pain, fly out through the window. You think you hear through the wind a voice taunting you as it dissipates.
Joke's on you, dickheads, I'm bats now!
And as the dragon friends, bruised but not broken, regather themselves, it seems that the room is once more theirs. But questions remain. Why did the vampire refer to Irina as Petrina, his one true love? What is the deal with this relic? And how good that you didn't break it? These are all thoughts that Bobby has. And also, maybe he needs to sit down and have a conversation with Baston. But there is time enough for that. For time is at last with them, and time shall be theirs for as long as they can survive on these, the adventures of the Dragon Friends. Thank you.
Dragon Friends is DM'd by David Harmon, with music this week by Liam and Dan Scarrett, and features the voices of Alex Lee, Simon Greiner, Eden Lacey, Ben Jenkins, and Michael Hing, with special guest this episode, Zoe Norton-Lodge as Irina. The podcast is edited by me, Benny Davis, and sponsored by PAX Australia, the country's primo video games and pop culture expo. And if you like the podcast, we have a Patreon where you can support us and earn bonus content and weird gifts, including an hour-long Star Wars one-shot adventure. Thanks for listening.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.